that definition of insanity is saying the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
Yeah.
Like, that person was not a parent, because that is parenting, is saying the same thing over and over.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood, and I am so excited to team up to Art of Fatherhood podcast sponsorship with Busy Kid. I got one of the founders, Greg Merced, with me right now. Greg, people can hear your fatherhood journey on the podcast that we had as well, but tell the good folks why people should use Busy Kid.
You know, I would say get your kid busy doing stuff that actually matters, not just messing around, okay? Get them busy learning how money works so that one day they can leave your house and never come back. Okay, that is the goal. And we want to empower them. This is your kid's first job with direct deposit. Make it happen. It's easy. I think what it'll do is it'll empower your kid to be smart with their money.
And that's all we want. We want our kids to be great. We want them to have positive and fun, fulfilling lives. Busy Kid can help them with that as well. So listen to what Greg says. For more information, go to busykid.com, and we appreciate their sponsorship here at the Art of Fatherhood podcast. What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood, and I'm very happy to have Mike Downey. Thanks for taking time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Dude, my pleasure.
Yeah, looking forward to chatting with you about music. Congrats on your new album, Flourish. We're going to talk about it in a second, but I love bringing good guys like yourself on to talk about their fatherhood journey. You got daughters, I got daughters. You got more than me. I've got two. But talk a little bit about when you found out you were going to be a dad, Mike. What was going through your mind, sir?
Terror, sheer terror. Exposing my complete lack of responsibility or preparedness. You know, I don't know any guy who goes, oh, I feel totally ready for this.
No, that's true, because especially, you know, like all of a sudden, like, yeah, you got that record scratch, you got the brakes in the car, and you're like, okay, things are getting real. So yeah, I definitely appreciate that. I know a lot of dads can appreciate that as well. Being a musician, I mean, everything that you do, hard work is going to be, of course, a value that you're going to look to instill into your kids. But talk about some of the other core values you're looking to instill into them.
I really want them to have compassion for people. A really big core value in our family is forgiveness, because I think bitterness is probably, if I read the scripture right, it's actually the most dangerous thing that you can have in your heart. It's bitterness. Another core thing we're trying to tell our kids, we're trying to create a zero tolerance fighting. Now, when I say fighting, I don't mean they can't have disagreements, but that sort of vitriolic, angsty, you're my enemy. We're always saying to our girls, you're on the same team. You're on the same team. You're for each other. You're for each other. And you kind of, you know, it's funny how that definition of insanity is saying the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
Yep.
Like, that person was not a parent, because that is parenting, is saying the same thing over and over.
100% spot on. Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, we, again, I have, you know, two daughters, and my wife and I are constantly saying, like, you guys should be friends. You, of course, like we say, like, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be things here and there that you're going to argue about, but like, don't try to tick the other one off just because you can, or certain things. Like, we've all, it's human nature. I get it. I grew up with two older sisters, and there was times you want to do the little nudge or say something, a little quip, but yeah, like, be there for each other, be friends, and like, build each other up. So I 100% agree with that. And, you know, like we said, we're teaching our kids values. We're trying to like instruct them, but they're doing the same thing for us. We're learning about life and ourselves through them. So what is something that you have learned through your daughters that you would like to share, either about life in general or about something that you found through, like, they've taught you about yourself?
Well, my daughters have definitely taught me that I'm not as patient as I thought I was. The thing we try to tell our kids is, like, you're allowed to be sad. I think a lot of us grew up kind of being taught that certain emotions were right and certain emotions were wrong, and instead trying to instill in them a curiosity about their emotions, But it kind of backfires, you know, because they'll just be losing their minds. And I'll go, okay, we're not going to scream. You said I'm allowed to cry. You're allowed to be sad. You're not allowed to lose your mind. So we're always trying to teach them the difference between being sad and flipping your lid, that there's kind of a tension there. Yeah. But you know, children, they're in their lizard brain, man. I mean, they don't have cognitive ability. Like, what's the part of the brain that's not fully formed till you're in your 20s? Frontal lobe, which is responsible for your decision making. So, I mean, everything that a child is making their emotions, or all their decisions are based on their emotions. And so they're teaching me how to connect back to my emotions, and also how, as an adult, I don't have to make decisions based out of my emotion. Like, I actually have the ability to step back. They teach me a lot of stuff, man. I think the biggest thing having daughters, they teach you / force you to slow down, you know. All my daughters require so much attention from me. The one thing they need is the simplest thing and the hardest thing to give, which is your time and attention. I mean, that's it. And so my wife and I are all trying to challenge each other to stoop low, look them in the face, and not see them as a disruption or an interruption to my life. Now, we teach them, hey, if I'm talking, come put your hand on my arm and I'll get to you. So they're not like shouting at us when we're in the middle of a conversation. But I see a lot of parents, they choose to like just ignore their kids when they're talking to other adults. And I don't think that's the proper way to go about it either.
Mike, that is fantastic. And I want to talk about the hand thing in a second on the shoulder, because I think that is a brilliant move, and that could bleed into my next question. But again, raising daughters, you want to make sure that they find someone that treats them right, right? And we're the foundation as dads. We got to make sure that, you know, we're showing them that, hey, I respect you. I want to take the time and listen to you. And I've always tried to have the idea of like what they're worrying about at that time might not seem like the biggest thing in the scheme of life, but for them right there in that moment, it's huge. It's their world. So just like you say, you crouch down and listen to them. My daughters are 13 and 11. So as they're getting older, more things are starting to mentally and emotionally, they're developing and all this other stuff. So the fact that you guys right now are taking the time to, like, you know, stoop down, eye focus, make sure that you're paying attention to them and you're showing like you matter and you care and this is how a good relationship should be, I think just speaks volumes about how much you and your wife are, you know, caring and loving for your daughters. And I think that's amazing. And the hand thing, I love that, because we've always like, dad, 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 mom, mom. And it's like, I'm talking to someone here. But like the idea of like, hey, if I'm talking to someone, you know, just can you put your hand on my shoulder? I think that is a great piece of advice for new dads and dads and parents in general. So that's one. But for new dads, listen to this. What is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer to them? I love that shoulder thing. That thing is great, man.
Yeah. So the two big things, like at the end of the day, what you just said, I feel like my daughters will not settle for a bozo.
Nice.
If they know that they're precious to me. That's it. If they are precious to me, then when it gets with some guy who's not treating them like treasure, they're going to go, wait a second. I should be precious. My dad taught me that I'm precious, you know? And the way we do that is our time and attention. Every dad who has older kids who I really respect, I'm always, and maybe this is good advice, ask dads that you see that you respect and go, what did you do? And 100% of every dad I've asked, hey, what's your secret? Every single one of them say the same thing. They say, be interested. I go, what? They go, be interested. Be interested in what they're interested in. And here's the problem. A lot of dads are not interested in what their kids are interested in when they're kids, especially when they're like young teens, because it's weird. They're into like weird stuff. And then once they become a teenager, then they go, okay, now I'm ready to be interested. And at that time, the kid goes, whatever, dude, you were never interested in me before. Now all of a sudden you're interested in me.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, here's a real practical example. My 11-year-old, when she was 10, she got super into this dragon book series called Wings of Fire. And yeah, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've got the whole series in our house, man. Nice.
Yeah. And so I said, okay, well, I'll read them too, you know? And it's taken me forever. She's on book 13 or whatever, and I'm at book 7. But I feel like I could see her light up when I don't want to read about dragons, but it makes her feel seen by me being interested in what she's interested in.
Oh man, spot on. Yeah, Wings of Fire is huge. And it kind of got passed on from like one daughter to the other. But yeah, I think you're spot on in the idea of like take interest in what they're doing, not just at like the time you feel like, oh, they're into something cool. Like my daughter, my oldest, she's a big fan of Olivia Rodrigo, right? And so I'm like, why do you like her? Like, what are some of the songs? And, you know, oh, what does this song mean to you and all this other stuff? And we'll joke because if we go, like, anytime we're in the car as a family together, we're turning on the radio station, that song is on. And she's got a song called Deja Vu. So, of course, I'm doing a dad joke that this is the third time we have it. Of course, I'm having Deja Vu, Lil. And she gives me the eye roll like, Dad, stop it. She's a great singer, whatever this case may be. But we have that, you know, she understands that I care about what her interests are. And my youngest, she's starting to play the saxophone. So she's playing for us. I'm like, how, you know, and just asking them questions about things that you might not be into. Again, once they become teenagers and like you might have the same interest for certain things, they'll be like, well, Dad was here this whole time. He's riding or dying with me. So I'm going to make sure that we're there together. So I love that. And of course, you know, people who know and are big fans of you, you know, of your work and all that stuff and your music, they could probably tell that your parenting skills already, just because of the way, you know, the things you think, sing about and talk about in your music. Your new album, Flourish, man, congrats on that. Talk a little bit about that album and the inspiration and how that album came to be.
Yeah, the big inspiration was everything in my life falling apart. At least it felt that way. Beginning of 2020, I said to my band, I need to take some time off. And they all said, well, actually, we've been wanting to quit. And people always, when a band breaks up, they just assume there must have been something bad. Especially our band was doing well. I mean, relatively speaking, it wasn't like, you know, we had just kind of come to the end and fizzled out. I mean, we, you know, we're still doing really well, having great concerts, and the guys are just ready to do something else. I mean, we've been at it a long time and all the kids are starting to be in middle school. And so guys were starting to quit one by one, 'cause they go, man, I can't spend my life on the road. Well, then we did our farewell tour, which got canceled because of COVID. So all of a sudden, not only had my band all quit, but our tour got canceled and I'm at home, nothing to do, and just not sure how I was going to, you know, provide, not sure, you know, whatever. And I just couldn't stop writing songs, because for me, songs are like therapy. It's like free counseling. There's this great verse in Psalm 49. It says, I incline my ear to wisdom, and with the music of the lyre, I will solve my riddle. Nice. So David basically says, I use songwriting as a way to unriddle my own heart. And that's what I did. And so I ended up, during the pandemic, as one would expect, I guess, I wrote more songs in a year than I'd ever written. I wrote almost 100 songs, I think. And not that they're any good. I just wrote a lot.
But no, and just the fact that I want to talk about your creative process in a second. I'm sorry to interrupt, but like that to me is just amazing, because like you know, like you said, like it's a great way for you to kind of just like look at your life and, you know, just kind of help yourself and heal yourself, right? But like 100 songs, man, like kudos to you, because that's just, yeah, maybe they're not going to see the light of day and it's just going to be seen by you and your family. But I think that's so impressive. But again, go ahead, man. I didn't mean to interrupt. Oh,
yeah, no problem. So I just was writing, and basically the thing I just kept coming back to was, God, I want to know that I can be abundant in a time of scarcity. I want to know that I can be present in a time that I wouldn't have chosen. I want to know that I can be flourishing in the midst of circumstances that are outside of my control. And so that's what the whole record is kind of about, is about how do we believe this audacity that even when all things are not going the way I would have chosen, how can I choose to be in this moment, to flourish in my heart, even when my circumstances aren't?
Amazing, amazing, Mike. And like, and the fact that like we have more time, like our family was close to begin with, me and my wife and my daughters, but like we're cooking together. We're not like, we had that kind of staple of like, all right, we're just going to Saturday, let's go to the store, buy some stuff and maybe don't need or whatever, and then go eat at a restaurant. And the food was like, oh, it was good. Okay, whatever. But we're making food at our together as a family, and just going with like the Wings of Fire. We're making fan fiction together. And like, we're like, my daughters want us to like work on stories together or comics, whatever the case may be. So we're doing that. You found, you know, inspiration through your songs. I found inspiration, you know, through writing with my daughters and my wife and all that other stuff, just some fun stuff. And like during the time, my oldest like, hey, can I write an article with you on your site? And I was like, yeah, cool. So we'll do that. So you found a way, like you said, to kind of flourish and kind of make sure that like, this is, like you said, it's a weird time. And it's like, everything is like kind of pointing against us and like, we shouldn't flourish, but you found a way to do that. And I think that's a great example for, you know, you to show your daughters like, hey, there's going to be tough times, but you can get through it by through your passion and for music and religion. You found a way to kind of like soothe everything that was kind of, not everything, but certain things that were kind of just stressing you out. So I appreciate that. And
I want to jump on right there. There's a song on my record called Glory I Couldn't See. There's this quote. It says, the secret to peace is to embrace your current circumstance as if you had chosen it. Okay. So when the lockdown happened, you know, I found myself just raging against it. No. And I was missing my daughters in front of me. I was missing mealtimes. I was so just somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then I came to this realization of, oh, I have to choose this. Until I choose this, I'm a victim to it because I'm resisting it. Right.
Yeah.
And the second I say, my friend Justin McRoberts, he likes to say, it isn't, it is what it is. It is what you make it. So all of a sudden I go, okay, well, we're in a pandemic. So how do I choose it so that I can actually make something out of this, you know? Yeah. And same thing, you know, and the song Glory I Couldn't See is basically all the things, I call it sort of my dad anthem of never wanting to go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
But actually receiving a gift from this disruption that we've had, that, oh, I get I'm hoping that me and other dads, that this pandemic taught us that we don't need to be as successful as we think, that we don't need to hustle as hard as we think, that we actually can choose our family and our wife, and we can actually be present with our kids. And the ironic thing is that I've been reading articles about, you know, the most successful people in the world, and almost all of them actually work less. You know, they turn their phone off from this time to this time. They don't answer emails from this time to this time. And there's something about giving yourself space to actually live and breathe actually makes you more engaged when you come to work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, think about, you see people all the time being like, working from home works. I don't have to be a miserable in a commute, right? And I'm more productive. And it's like, I can just go down quickly, get a snack. And then like, all right, refresh my batteries. The question I had for you is going to kind of change is because what you were talking about. So during this pandemic, while you're writing, you know, different songs for Flourish, did your, just listen to you, just think about like how you look at, you know, scripture and like things kind of influence you for your songs, obviously, but did your creative process change at all during this pandemic, or as you, how you approach a song? Not like, all right, I got time, I'm going to write some songs in this album, but did your creative process change along the way because of the pandemic? Because you were like, you know what? I don't have to do this right away. I can spend time lower, you know, like turn off the phone and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden recharge your batteries. And then like almost inspiration pops when you least expect it. Right. Yeah. So for you, did the pandemic kind of change your creative process?
Oh, 100%. One really significant way is my guitarist was always the one producing our demos. So I'd have a song idea, a little bit of a song, and then he'd be the one recording it and adding the instruments. Well, lockdown, I couldn't even go over to his house and record stuff. So I bought a bunch of gear, taught myself how to record things. And there was a bunch of songs that were kind of sprung out of me playing around on a weird keyboard sound or something that I wouldn't have done before. Yeah. And then I start writing with producers on Zoom and Skype, and it just was like using a whole different set of paintbrushes that I didn't usually use.
Nice. And speaking of this different set of paintbrushes for music, I'm guessing, and this is probably a no-brainer, but like fatherhood has kind of changed the way you approach music, right? So like you even said, like, you know, you got your fatherhood song right there, your dad anthem right there. How do you feel like fatherhood, whether it's emotionally or just spiritually or just like, you know, using your imagination or just thinking about other things, like how, like name one area where fatherhood has kind of helped you become a better musician?
Yeah, I mean, there's something about looking at the world through a child's eyes, you know. Children are, who is it, Picasso, who said, you know, we're all born artists. And then, you know, some are able to, I forget what his quote is, but some are able to maintain being a child.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. It's basically like you stop being an artist when you become an adult.
Yep.
And so just looking through my daughter's eyes, I have a song on the record where I literally talk about seeing God in my daughter's eyes, you know, and I think being a father, it forces you to go deeper, you know, at least it was for me. It just forced me to coming home, eating dinner, putting on Netflix. It's hard listening to my daughter's day at school, making dinner with them, helping them with their homework, then like putting each one to bed and singing songs with them and praying with them. I mean, it's just a lot more engagement. Yeah. And so I guess having daughters, to my point, the reason successful people turn their phones off is so that wherever they are, they're fully engaged. And the irony is when we become less productive, right? Because in some ways, children threaten to make you much less productive. Because you have way more time that you can't spend on your craft.
Yep. Right? Yeah.
But ironically, by learning to be engaged at all times in my life and all times in my day, then when I come to write songs, I'm able to be more engaged. I'm more aware of what I'm feeling if I'm willing to go there with my kids as well.
Yeah, I think my family are definitely my muses when it comes to writing or just thinking about certain things or way I look at life and just hearing, you know, I'm very fortunate to chat with you and other great dads on this podcast because I just feel like it kind of refreshes my dad batteries and being like, yeah, I need to be more like what Mike said, because especially in this space, I'm like, I'm trying to be all in, but there are certain days where I'm like looking at my phone or like, is an email coming? Am I going to set up this interview? Whatever the case may be, but once you're kind of detached from all the different things you feel like are kind of pulling you down, I think the creative juices and your imagination start to, you know, just go beyond where you need it to go, and it'll help you out. One more question before the father quick five. And this is hard. I'm not asking you, it's almost, maybe it's the equivalent of that. Like, do you have a favorite child? I know you don't have a favorite child, but like on this album, especially with like, you know, you came up with so many songs, 100 songs, whatever the case may be. You came up, you know, you created the playlist for this album with the set songs. Is there a song that stands out to you most because of maybe it was the catalyst for this album, or maybe when you started writing it seemed like a weak song, but like all of a sudden it turned into like, this song is going to be fantastic and I can't wait for people to hear it. Do you have one of those songs? Do you have maybe two that you'd like to share that like really spoke to you?
Well, you know, all the songs as an artist, they speak to you.
Yeah.
You know, what a question. The song I mentioned already, Glory I Couldn't See. I mean, when I wrote that song, I don't have this a lot, but I, for the first five or six times I played the demo to listen back to it, I wept uncontrollably. Wow. So I don't usually have that emotional response consistently of a song that I've written. So that song has kind of really surprised me. And then there's a song called Abundance that I loved it. And then a buddy of mine, he composes strings for a lot of big bands and stuff. And I was able to get connected with him, and he wrote the strings for it. And I remember the first time I heard it back with all the strings, and it just took me to a whole other place. So yeah, those two songs definitely didn't imagine them being what they were, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, again, thank you for, you know, kind of sharing that insight. And of course, you know, you mentioned earlier, like when you and the rest of the band from 10 Avenue North kind of split up, like I saw an interview. We were just saying, like, we all just kind of were like, we want time with our family. And I think just, of course, being in this parenthood space, like, I respect that so much from you guys. You said, like, it's not like you, because everyone wants that, like, salacious, like, juicy gossip. Like, what happened? Did someone, you know, have a fight or something? And it's like, I think now more than ever, it's like, you can be like, we're okay. We're still friends. We're still, like, we still care about each other, but we can go our separate ways, and we can kind of see what everybody else needs. And if you're going to be in a band together and everyone's kind of like not paying attention, like we were talking earlier about being, having the full attention there, then why do it? Cause you're not being a, you know, a good bandmate. But I appreciate everything you know, sharing about your music and of course fatherhood. And we're going to have fun right now with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie. Obviously a lot of people are watching movies together as a family. Do you have one that's like a good one right now that you guys are enjoying?
We just started WandaVision.
Oh, together, nice.
Which isn't a movie.
No, but that's cool. Like, it can be like a series or something like that. Like, my daughters and my wife and I are big into like Marvel. Like, we're, as you can see behind me, comic geek, all that other good stuff. But yeah, WandaVision is great. You guys, it'll be, I don't know what episode you're in on, but we're like, the first episode, we're trying, like, this is kind of like the Dick Van Dyke I Love Lucy show. You guys, you know, she'd be like, oh, this is boomer television. My oldest one would be saying stuff like that. But I'm like, they liked it for what it was, and because they loved the characters, they enjoyed it. So I like that. This definitely hits your wheelhouse. It can be one of your songs, or it can be just a song in general. Is there a favorite, you know, family song right now you guys like to dance to?
You know what song my three-year-old won't? So one of the things we did in the pandemic, we created a clean up the kitchen playlist.
Yes.
So when dinner was over, we'd all... And it starts with 9 to 5, Dolly Parton, you know, so, you know, everyone's nice.
That's such a good song, because everything gets you like moving to like you want to work. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then halfway through the playlist is that Katy Perry song called Daisies.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard this one, but my three-year-old will, she walks around the house going, they said I was crazy, cover me in daisies, daisies, daisies. She just sings it all the time. So I'd say Daisies by Katy Perry. 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Such a man, dropping a lot of like good gems here on this show, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, 9 to 5. Like, I remember watching that movie, but of course, like Dolly Parton, you know, that song is just like, yeah, that's such a good motivational song to get you going, especially like great for like cleaning up right after dinner. Nice.
And then the playlist ends with a song called Up and Up by Coldplay. And we do this thing where we go, okay, everyone dance, let your body do whatever it wants. There's no shame. Like, yeah. don't even think about what your body's doing. Just let it do it. And, you know, kids are like,
perfect. Nice. Oh, that. And I bet the smiles that are just everywhere in that house is just amazing. Just because you guys are having so much fun and it's just carefree, right?
Yeah. Till they bump into each other and start screaming and weeping uncontrollably.
But you said I could say anything and have all my emotions. Well, yeah, you hit each other. Calm down. I got you. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Hawaii.
Nice.
Man, yes. And we would ride turtles. We'd have ropes, 1 foot on a turtle, and we would just cruise around the ocean together.
Love it.
And Moana would be on a boat next to us. We'd be high-fiving. It'd be amazing.
Awesome. And first album you purchased, do you remember what it was?
I do. It was Boys to Men, Cooley High Harmony.
Yes! Nice!
Yeah, baby.
Great album right there. And lastly, top three words you hope your daughters would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
I think strong, compassionate, caring.
Nice. great three words right there. People, okay, make sure you follow Mike on Twitter, Mike Donahue, and pick up his new album, Flourish, wherever you purchase music. Mike, I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate the time to chat with me. My family and I enjoy your music, but I think my audience is definitely going to enjoy your view on fatherhood. Thanks for sharing your fatherhood journey with us, and I hope you and your family have continued success there.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. If you would be so kind and leave a review and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, I greatly appreciate that. And thank you to our sponsor this week, Busy Kid. It's a great way to teach your kids about finances, chores, investing, so many great things. I had a chance to chat with one of the co-founders, Greg Merced. You can check out that interview here as well. Really appreciate them sponsoring this week's podcast. For more on them, go to busykid.com.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.